So I returned to New Vrindavan, and there was a North American GBC and Temple President's leadership meeting where all the leaders of America come to New Vrindavan to discuss. That was for 3 days. I'm sorry, 2 days. And then after that, there was the Festival of Inspiration, where devotees from all over America come, where there's so many seminars and kirtans and lectures and dramas. It's the biggest festival of the year of this sort in America. And the whole time all these meetings and festivals were going on, I was just thinking, the undercurrent of tension in this community is so heavy. I just have to start these meetings to try to resolve it. And the devotees were very much putting pressure. We have to start these meetings. I said, the day after the festival's done, we'll have our meetings. It was very intense. It was crucial. Festival was going to be finished on Sunday night. I was scheduled Sunday afternoon to give the plenary session lecture to the whole festival group, to everyone who was participating. I spoke with Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj on the phone. Before coming to New Vrindavan, I visited him for 3 days. Then I went to Chicago, and then I came back to New Vrindavan. I spoke to him on the phone, and he told me that his health was really going down, and he believed that he would depart from this world within 2 or 3 days. And he told me, tomorrow I'm giving the Sunday feast lecture, and this will probably be the last talk I ever give in this life. So I decided I must be there for that lecture. So I approached Anuttama Prabhu, who was coordinating the whole festival. A very wonderful, loving God brother. I said, can you excuse me from giving my lecture so I can go to Gita Nagari? He said, give the morning session. I'll change you to the morning session for the plenary session, and then you could leave. In fact, I'm also going. So I gave the morning session and simply spoke about my love and appreciation for Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj. And then I told everyone that he may not live for very long, so right now I'm going to Gita Nagari, and you'll be pleased to know that 200 devotees left the festival and drove to Gita Nagari. Right in the middle of the festival. It's a 5 to 6 hour drive. We got there, and he was giving his lecture in the lawn. Incredible lecture. I've never seen anything like this. What a master of compassion. He was speaking such profound philosophy, so deep, just cutting right to the core of everyone's heart. He had everyone weeping, and sometimes even he would be weeping. Everyone was weeping, and then he would start telling incredible, humorous jokes, and everyone would be roaring in laughter and weeping and laughing. Weeping and laughing simultaneously. We were all going mad. But it was very deep subject matter. Really touching people's hearts. And after he gave this brilliant speech, his caretakers lifted him up because he could not walk. He was very thin. And they put him on his wheelchair. And my plan was, right after his lecture, I was going back to New Vrindavan, get there real late at night, and next morning, the meetings that we were waiting for months. He sat on his wheelchair, and I came up to offer my obeisances. And with a very soft, loving voice, he said, Maharaj, are you staying for a few days? I said, Maharaj, whatever pleases you, I will do. He said, I will be very grateful if you stay for 2 or 3 days. I said, I will stay. The next day I came to meet him. And Maharaj said to me, "When I pass away, I will be very grateful if you could come back to Gita Nagari and help with the last rites and give association to these devotees, because they will need shelter." I said, "Maharaj, I will come back." Meanwhile, the meeting at New Vrindavan was scheduled for 3 days later. The third day, I was going to ask leave of him. We had Krishna Katha. We were talking about Krishna and Vrindavan for about 2-3 hours. And then just before I was about to say, "I'm going back to New Vrindavan now," he looked at me. He had tears in his eyes, tears of such pure affection. With folded palms, he spoke so sweetly, "Maharaj, I want to die in your arms. Please stay with me." I said, "Maharaj, I'm here. As long as you're living in this body, I'm here with you. There's nothing else Prabhupada would want me to do." So I stayed with Maharaj. From that day on, devotees from New Vrindavan were coming to Gita Nagari to have meetings with me, and I was on the phone with them for hours and hours a day sometimes. It was quite intense. But by Maharaj's love and kindness, he allowed me to remain. I'd like to tell you some of the things that I saw. After that festival of inspiration, probably 50 or 60 of Prabhupada's disciples came from New Vrindavan just to be with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. They all gathered in his room. I never saw anything like this. He was empowered to reach their hearts. Literally, everyone was just taking shelter of his lotus feet. People were just crying with love, with gratitude, with such reverence. And he was speaking with such affection, with such intelligence, and with such wonderful philosophy, just transforming his own God brothers and God sisters' hearts. He gave us all such deep encouragement. Nobody could leave. The caretaker said, "It's time to go." But nobody could leave. Even when he said, you know, his body was dying, but still he was giving of himself so much. And he couldn't bear for them to leave, and they couldn't bear to leave. It was such a beautiful exchange of love. On another day, some people I know very well, some were Prabhupada's disciples, some were Gurukulis, people who were, many of them, totally brokenhearted and alienated. People who had not come to a lecture in ISKCON for years. People who wouldn't even go to a temple in ISKCON. I knew them. They were my friends. They still are my friends, but I understand the problems they were having. They had to come to see Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. The whole room was full of these types of people. It was magnificent. His heart, just entered right into the core of their hearts. The super soul empowered him with the exact perfect words that they needed to hear. I could not believe what I was seeing. People who were cynical, people who were abrasive, their hearts were melting right before my eyes. He spoke to them for over 2 hours, and the entire time, tears were pouring from every single person's eyes. They gave their hearts to him. He captured their minds. He transformed them. And as they came out of the room, they were all just weeping and crying, saying, "I am transformed. I'll never be the same after that experience." And one of these boys, who's gone through a lot of hardships, he looked at me and said, "In my whole life, I have never seen anyone so close to God as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj." Maharaj arranged a whole feast of wonderful prasad for all of his guests when they would come in the living room outside of his room. It was impossible for people to even eat. They were in such an emotional state. I went back in the room. I said, "Maharaj, how did you do that?" I've been a devotee for about 35 years. I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen anything like that. "Maharaj, I've known you for about 33 years. And I've seen you give dynamic lectures. I've seen you mesmerize people's minds. I've seen you change people's hearts. I've seen you convince people. But I've never seen you do anything like this. You have taken people who have been alienated and cynical, and you melted their hearts. You transformed them right before my eyes. Maharaj, this cannot be you speaking. You have become Prabhupada's puppet." And Maharaj looked at me very sincerely. And said, "Yes, I've never been able to affect people's lives like this before. Never. With all my prayers, with all my efforts, I've never been able to do this, to reach right into the core of people's hearts and transform them." He said, "It is not me. By Prabhupada's mercy, he's made me his puppet, and he's making me dance as he wishes for me to dance. This is what I have always prayed for, to be an instrument of Prabhupada's mercy and transform people's hearts. My whole life as a devotee, I've prayed for this. And Krishna has fulfilled my prayer." He said, "This disease is a great benediction. Because since I've gotten this disease, people are coming to me with such open and sympathetic hearts. And I'm speaking things that I do not even know. When I speak to these people, I don't even think about it. I don't even know what I'm saying. A voice is speaking through me, things that I don't even know. M Maharaj then said something to me that changed my life. After he spoke these words, everything that seemed so inconceivable to me made sense. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj said that since I've had this cancer, in the last few months, I have affected people's lives in such a way that I could have never been able to do if I lived another 30 years. Therefore, this disease is the blessing and benediction of Prabhupada. Because I am not living to live. I am living to serve. And in this condition, I am doing a greater service, quantitatively and qualitatively, than I could have ever done if I lived a long life. Therefore, this disease is the answer to my prayer. And I would not trade my position for anyone else in the world because of the service I'm allowed to render. People wonder why such a great devotee could have possibly be put in such a painful condition of dying, such a disease. But this was the positive attitude that Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj understood it. And he had complete faith. And whatever he said was perfectly true, and I could testify from what I saw before my eyes. Then Maharaj started explaining to me some of the ways he's helping people. He showed me letters and told me about one god sister who was downtrodden. Her life was ruined. She became an alcoholic. She stopped all sadhana and all association of devotees. But when she heard about Bhakti Tirtha Swami dying of cancer and read some of the things that she was saying, she wrote to him and said, "It's changed my life." She asked him questions, asked him for shelter. He gave her guidance by email and by telephone. She gave up alcohol. She moved right next to a temple, started chanting her rounds, following her vows, and practicing Krishna consciousness, assisting Prabhupada's mission. People who have been away from years were coming to Bhakti Tirtha Swami to take shelter. People with all kinds of difficulties and problems. It's unbelievable. Yes, during those weeks, Maharaj was a puppet of Prabhupada, an instrument of Radharani's love. There is no doubt. He extended himself to everyone. His body was such a painful condition, it was heartbreaking to see. At one time he just tried to lift a little briefcase, and because cancer had eaten away his bones, his collarbone just cracked. He had a broken collarbone, an amputated leg. Tumors all over his body, some of them so big you could see them. He had tumors in the knee of his good leg. Tumors in his chest, tumors in his groins. He was becoming emaciated. It was so painful to see him in this situation. He was such an independent person who hated to have anyone serve him. And he was in a condition where he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand, he couldn't sit up without people helping him, lifting him. To go to the bathroom, he had to be lifted. And yet, even despite such difficulty, every Sunday he gave the Sunday feast lecture. And devotees from all over Gita Nagari, from Washington, D.C., from New York, from Detroit, from New Vrindavan, from Maryland, from New Jersey, people were coming all over just to hear Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's Sunday feast lectures. And he would lead enthusiastic kirtans with Gopal Prabhu playing mridanga. And he would give dynamic lectures, empowered lectures, full of love, compassion. He was literally extending himself for everybody and anybody. He was giving his life to the Vaishnavas, expecting nothing in return. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, out of his kindness upon me, requested that I come every day to help him to always remember Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna, and their beautiful pastimes. So every day I came, and he considered this Sangam so sacred, he would not allow anyone else to be in the room with us. Even his personal caretakers would have to leave. And we would speak for 1 to 3 hours every day. One of our dear friends and God brothers remained for a long time during those 7.5 weeks at Gita Nagari. Many of you know him. His name is Mahamuni Prabhu. One day, a group of Prabhupada's disciples was meeting with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Maharaj was speaking so eloquently, right to the heart of each devotee. Mahamuni was so deeply moved by Bhakti Tirtha Swami's compassion and his profound words of wisdom that he was incessantly weeping tears. After the dialogue with all of the devotees completed, Maharaj very affectionately turned to Mahamuni Prabhu. He said, "When I was a new devotee, Mahamuni Prabhu," he said, "I served under you for some time, and you were such a strict authority on everyone who was working under you." He said, "I remember how difficult it was due to your strictness." Mahamuni Prabhu was an American soldier. And in the Vietnam War, he commanded a whole division in the front lines of battle. So he did have that military training. And he could be quite strict. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, "Mahamuni, someday I'm going to get even with you." And then Maharaj very lovingly, very, very affectionately, he made a fist. He said, "Mahamuni Prabhu, I'm going to punch you in the jaw." And Mahamuni Prabhu said, "Please, Maharaj, please punch me." And Maharaj was laughing. He was laughing, very sweet. He said, "Mahamuni Prabhu, I want to punch you in the jaw. Someday I am going to punch you in the jaw." Mahamuni said, "Please do it, do it." And they laughed. Very soon after this, I went to meet Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. And when I came out of his room, I was scheduled to give a lecture at the Radha Damodar Temple of Gita Nagari that evening. So I was just about to leave. And one of Maharaja's disciples, her name Agnihotra, Mataji, from Cleveland, Ohio, she said to me that on my Gurudev's request, today I have made special prasad. It is genuine soul food. And she started telling me the whole menu. Collard greens. And one preparation, she said, was barbecued curd steaks with hickory sauce. She said, would you like some? I said, how can I refuse barbecued curd steaks with hickory sauce? I never had anything like that. It's definitely soul food. So I said, but I don't want to have it until Maharaj takes it, and it is his Maha Maha Prasad. So then they brought the plate into Maharaj, and I went to give lecture, and someone came and delivered to me in nice containers all the different preparations. So Mahamuni Prabhu was at the lecture, and we were staying in the same house together, at the house of my very dear godbrother and godsister, Yadu Nandan Prabhu and Taruni Mataji. So as we're driving back, Mahamuni Prabhu is noticing a very exotic fragrance. I said, do you know what that is? He said, what? I said, it's soul food. I said, it's Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaja's Maha Maha Prasad. And today we will eat it. Now we got back about 11 o'clock at night. I served it out. And we ate little. We both had just a little. Especially we liked the barbecued curd steaks and hickory sauce. Now we took rest. We were sharing the same room. The next morning I got up because I was supposed to give class, Srimad Bhagavatam class. And when I woke up, I saw Mahamuni Prabhu. His eyes were bloodshot. He was holding his jaw and he was groaning in pain. I said, Maharaj, what happened? He said, I didn't sleep all night. I said, why? He said, because of intense, unbearable pain. I said, well, what happened? He said, Maharaj did it to me. I said, what do you mean? He said, he hit me in the jaw through his Maha Maha Prasad. The hickory sauce somehow or other dripped in under his bridges and his teeth and made his whole jaw and mouth swollen in excruciating pain. And he said, Maharaj did it. He promised me he would punch me in the jaw. And through his prasad, he punched me right in the jaw. He was in pain for several weeks. Now the next day, that morning, I told the story to all the devotees at Gita Nagari during Srimad Bhagavatam class, and they were really pleased to hear it. Mahamuni Prabhu didn't go to class because he was in too much pain, but the next time he went out, everyone was asking, Mahamuni Prabhu, how is your jaw? And he said, how did you know? He said, there was a whole Srimad Bhagavatam class about that. So the next day I told the whole story to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and he was laughing so much, he said, yes. And Mahamuni Prabhu came in the next day, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had his fist out. He said, "How did it feel, Mahamuni Prabhu? How did it..." So we read about the power of prasad. But more important than prasad, more powerful than prasad, is mahaprasad. The prasad that is directly from the plates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the altar. But even more powerful than mahaprasad is mahaprasad. Which is that mahaprasad that is from the plates of a devotee. Mahaprasad has been glorified by the greatest of acharyas. Haridas Thakur, that was his prayer. During Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas, "Take any benediction and I will give it. What would you like?" Thakur Haridas replied that, "I do not want anything. I am satisfied simply being the servant of the servant of your servants." But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I insist, ask for something." Haridas Thakur said, "There is one desire in my heart that you could fulfill. In every birth that I may take, give me the benediction that I will always receive the foodstuffs that has been left behind on the plates of your devotees. Maha, maha, prasad. Let that benediction be mine. Even if I be a dog or an insect near the house of a devotee, I will be grateful to receive the remnants of your devotee's food." Haridas became very embarrassed. He said, "Actually, I have no right. I am so fallen. Who am I to ask for such an exalted benediction? I am so fallen that I'm always longing to be seen as an important person. That is my shameless condition. Please, just grant me this benediction, that I may always worship within my heart the Maha Maha Prasad, the food remnants that has fallen from the mouth of your devotees. And in this way, allow me to always be the servant of the servant of your servants." Prasad means mercy. On this wonderful, humorous occasion, we were laughing and joking for many days, especially Mahamuni. And every time he laughed, it increased the pain of his jaw, but still he couldn't stop laughing. Prasad means mercy. And he felt himself that he received an extraordinary act of mercy from His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki. Shall I continue? Each day we would meet for approximately 1 to 3 hours in the solitude of one another's association. I asked him, "What would you like me to speak on, or what would you like to discuss?" He said, "Whatever you think is most appropriate." But he especially wanted to focus his mind on Vrindavan. So we began our discussion. With the narration of Srila Madhavendra Puri, his surrender to Krishna, and the wonderful way in which he departed from the world. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes when Madhavendra Puri, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he was leaving the world, again and again he recited a particular verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that this is crestual of verses. As sandalwood or chandan increases its fragrance as we rub it, similarly, realization of devotional mellows increase as we contemplate this verse. As Kostubamani is the most precious of all jewels, this verse is the crest jewel of mellow prayers. And then it is explained by Kaviraj Goswami that there are only three people who could understand the inner meaning of this prayer in full. One is Srimati Radharani. The other is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna with the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. Third is Madhavendra Puri. That is Madhavendra Puri's exalted position. By his example, he taught all of us the perfection of leaving one's body. In the spirit of love and separation. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to this prayer that for the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, there is no higher experience, no greater goal than love and separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Krishna. He was in the mood of Srimati Radharani after Krishna left for Mathura, at the time when Uddhava came back to give message. This was the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. And the origin, the seed of that love within this world, was Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was explaining the glories of Madhavendra Puri, he was doing it as if he had many, many mouths. And when he began to chant this particular prayer, the last prayer of Madhavendra Puri, he was so choked up and emotional, he could only get a couple syllables out. And he was dancing and crying, hair standing on end, limbs trembling, running, dancing, so much inspired by the power of this prayer. So after discussing at great length for several hours the nature of Madhavendra Puri's love, together we recited this prayer. And from that day on, every meeting we had for the next almost 8 weeks, we would begin our meetings and end our meetings by reciting this prayer over and over again. Would you like to recite this prayer? This is the mood of Srimati Radharani feeling that separation from Krishna, which is the ultimate experience. And it was Madhavendra Puri's feelings of separation. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation. It was Prabhupada's feelings of separation on Jaladuta. And it is the perfect prayer to meditate upon when leaving this world. Usually Maharaj was laying in his bed, and I was sitting by his side, holding his hand throughout our discussions. And it was in this mood that we would recite the prayer. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, although he was such a powerful, super intelligent general, when we would have our talks together, he was like an innocent child. Like a beautiful, sweet little cowherd boy. It was the most beautiful, sweet experience to be with him. So humble, so simple. He would just open his eyes and very submissively repeat the prayer of Madhavendra Puri. I would say one phrase and he would repeat. I would say one phrase and he would repeat. So you may repeat. Folded palms, please. Oh, my Lord.
O my God.
O most merciful Master. O Master of Mathura,
O Master of Mathura,
when shall I see you again?
Because of my not seeing you,
my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one,
what shall I do now?
O my Lord, as he said, O my Lord, his eyes would just be like an innocent child, just trying to perfectly pronounce from the core of his heart. O most merciful Master. When he would say that, he started getting choked up. O Master of Mathura. As he said this phrase, Maharaj would start trembling. When shall I see you again? As he said this, tears profusely poured from his eyes. And with a choked up voice, he had to struggle to say that, his whole body trembling. When shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you. In this way, his absorption in this verse just increased. My agitated heart has become unsteady. I was reciting it, but he was living it. As I was saying it, I could see by the symptoms of his voice, his eyes, and his body that he had realized this verse.
O most beloved one,
what shall I do now?
The genuine emotions, feelings, and realizations in which he would chant this verse was with such innocence, such simplicity, and such deep feeling that I felt so fortunate. It was as if I was sitting with Madhavendra Puri when he was chanting that verse. I certainly was sitting with his dear representative. He loved that sloka so much that Maharaj called it our theme song. And every day for the next 8 weeks, when it would come to the end of our discussion on Vrindavan Katha, Radha Krishna, Govardhan, the story of Prabhupada, the story of, we just, so many beautiful stories, mostly about Vrindavan. And it was so deep how we discussed. Things were coming from both of our mouths that were just beyond our own realizations. But then, when it was time to end, he would say, Maharaj, let us sing our theme song. And he would go through those incredible emotional, spiritual transformations. And then every day at the beginning and end of our talk, Maharaj, with tears in his eyes, would fold his palms and say, I am your obedient. And I would reply, Maharaj, I am your obedient. And then we would both laugh, remembering Ghanashyam Baba and Prabhupada's mercy, and then we would part till the next day. Maharaj was such an ocean of gratitude. I could see everybody and anybody that would come, he would just show such deep appreciation for them. He was so encouraging. And how much he encouraged me. And whatever he spoke was really from his heart. Almost every day, he would thank me for being with him. So many exchanges like this that literally conquered my heart forever. Exchanges such as the one I'm about to share with you. Maharaj would be so tender and kind, and he'd say, Maharaj, I'm so grateful to you for being here with me. I know you're one of the most busy persons in all of ISKCON. You're on demand all over the world. There's so many problems and demands at New Vrindavan and other places. And you've completely negated your entire schedule just to be with me. He said, it's amazing. It's amazing that you're giving such kindness. And then he would start to cry. And his voice would choke. He said, Maharaj, I really believe that Srila Prabhupada has sent you out of his causeless mercy to be with me at this time. In fact, I feel Prabhupada's presence sitting right next to me in your association. I didn't deserve any of these words. I told Maharaj that it's not like that. It's the greatest honor of my life to be here with you. I'm eternally indebted to you. Of all the people in the world, you selected this little insignificant fallen godbrother
to be with you and have these most beautiful exchanges with you. Maharaj, it is an honor. And I can tell you that I know without a trace of a doubt that there is nothing in the 14 worlds that I can do to please Srila Prabhupada more than being here in your service. When I said that, Maharaj broke down crying. And he smiled. And he said, "Amazing. Amazing." He said, "What is so amazing is what you said. I know you really mean it." One day we were discussing the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And all of a sudden, Maharaj went into ecstasy. He just cried out, "We are there! We are there, Maharaj! We are there!" And I said, "Maharaj, where are we?" He said, "We are there." Now please understand, he has one leg. He's under all kinds of pain management because melanoma cancer is severe pain. The hospice doctors and nurses that were coming were telling that this man is in such excruciating pain you can't even believe it. And he didn't want many painkillers because he wanted to be in focused consciousness on Krishna. He was in a lot of pain. He had any little time he wanted to move, two people had to move him. So difficult. But yet he became ecstatic. He said, "We're there, Maharaj, we're there." I said, "Where are we, Maharaj, where?" He said, "We're there." He said, "We are living Chaitanya Charitamrita." He said, "This is not just talking Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy." And he was speaking with great enthusiasm. He was very weak, but his voice just became tumultuous. He said, "By Prabhupada's mercy, we have literally entered into the eternal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." He said, "What is Chaitanya Charitamrita?" Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees discussing Krishna with one another. Chaitanya Charitamrita is about devotees developing the sweetest, most intimate love for one another, discussing Krishna together. By Prabhupada's mercy, we're there. We have entered into the eternal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he just nodded his head back and forth. And tears started pouring out of his eyes, and he smiled a gigantic, effulgent smile. And again he said, "Amazing, amazing, wonderful, wonderful." And then he just looked at me like a little cowherd boy, such innocent glance, absolutely no duplicity, just affection and love glazing his eyes. He said, "Maharaj, I would not trade the position I'm in today for anything else or anyone else in the entire world. This is the greatest benediction." And then he said, "I am so grateful." That was his transcendental state of Krishna consciousness. Lord Narasingha Dev's appearance day was approaching. And Maharaj really wanted to leave his body on that day. He thought it would be really inspired, as he worshipped Lord Nrsimhadev. For years he had a cane with Lord Nrsimhadev carved in. His personal deities, he had beautiful deities of Radha Shyam Sundar and Lord Nrsimhadev delivering Hiranyakashipu. Because he was a fearless sannyasi. So he told me on several occasions that wouldn't it be auspicious if I give up my body on Lord Nrsimha's appearance day? Especially in front of the deities. I said, Maharaj, Krishna's going to take you whenever Prabhupada calls for you. There was a festival at the temple. Many, many devotees from all around came. And he was getting in his car to give the lecture. And as they were carrying him, he was just smiling. And they brought him in the temple. And he was so gracious, he always had any sannyasi gets sitting on chairs next to him. And he leaned over to me. We're right in front of the deities of Radha Damodar and all the assembled devotees and Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. And he smiled and he said, wouldn't it be glorious if I give up my life and Krishna takes me right now in front of the deities while I'm doing kirtan? And then he started a kirtan. Nobody could believe that kirtan. He was so weak. He was so thin. He looked like he could pass out of his body in any second. He just led this intense kirtan. So loud, so enthusiastic, and he just kept going on and on and on and on and on. And I was just sitting next to him watching, and all along I was thinking, Maharaj is just determined to give up his body in this kirtan. He was just giving every ounce of energy in his life to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And he was chanting, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham. And he chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. And I could see that he was a little disappointed. So then he ended the kirtan after a long time. It was impossible for someone in that condition to lead a kirtan like that. And then he gave a fantastic lecture on Lord Nrsimhadev. Very special. So many people were coming to see him. One day Maharaj told me a story. He said that Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj appeared to him in a dream. He said it wasn't a dream, it was a vision. In this vision, Tamal Krishna Goswami told Bhakti Tirtha Swami that Prabhupada is calling for you. You must give up all your services in the world that you're living and you must come. Prabhupada is calling for you. He has another service for you in another place. And this was very special because during Prabhupada's life, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was so much the person that was between Prabhupada and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, especially in regard to those reports he was sending. Samalkrishna Maharaj told him, Prabhupada is calling for you. You must come now. And then Samalkrishna Maharaj in the dream began to cry. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj asked, why are you crying? And with a choked voice, Samalkrishna Maharaj replied, he said, because I know when Prabhupada called for me in the exact same way and I left to join him, I know how much pain my departure caused to my disciples, friends, and well-wishers. And I know that when you respond to Prabhupada's call, your friends, your disciples, and your followers are going to suffer the same pain that mine did. And I am crying for your disciples. But you must come. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told me that he felt that Samalkrishna Maharaj was going to come again, and he couldn't leave until he came. Meanwhile, many people were coming to see Maharaj, and he was just giving all his, he was giving everybody the chance to meet with him, and in his empowered way, he was just transforming, enlightening, and melting people's hearts. And sometimes when senior godbrothers would come, the only time they had to meet with him was during our session of Krishna Katha. So many came. Srivakram Maharaj, Bhakti Marg Maharaj, Romapad Maharaj, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, Kirtanananda Maharaj, Satsarup Goswami Maharaj, Mahamuni Prabhu, Bhagavan Prabhu, who had been away for so many years. So many people. That is just a sample. And whenever they would come, he would just extend and give himself completely to encourage them, inspire them, and enlighten them. And one day, he said to me, he said, whenever there's other people in our katas together, it's a very different mood.